Welcome to the New Earth Architectress, where we'll be exploring together what is an architectress, what is the New Earth, and how is the evolution in consciousness paving the way for your leading role in architecture. I'm your host, Aisha Rose Melody Hassan, and I'm so excited to share with you what's possible when you lead a prospering design practice aligned with spirit and your divine calling. If you're a woman architect or designer who's hearing a deep call to take your stand as an ancient temple builder of the future, welcome. Now is the time, and we are the ones. Hello and welcome to the New Earth Architectress podcast. And today is a very, very special day. We are graced with the presence of our first guest speaker. Her name is Rachel Grachowski. She is an architect leading an amazing firm called RHD Design. Correct, Rachel?
RHG.
My apologies.
We're RHG Design on Instagram, but we're RHG Architecture and Design.
Yeah. Right. I canceled the G and went right to the design part. So yeah. RHG Design, and you are in outside of New York, correct?
Yes. We're in Montclair, New Jersey. Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. So it's such a delight and honor to have you on the show. You have been also on the Sacred Blueprint interview series several times. And once again, you are just really a blessing. It's a blessing to have you in my community. And I am so excited to continue the conversation about what's possible when we bridge spiritual wisdom with architecture. Yes. Mm. So yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I do. Well, I just wanted to say thank you for having me. It's an honor to be, especially your first interviewer, yes. Interviewee. But yeah, I always love speaking with you. It's inspiring and sharing commonalities in what we do.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yes. This is so exciting. Yes. The first guest. So, Rachel, for, listeners who don't know you, can you share how you began weaving a spiritual approach with architecture? Can you give us a bit of a background? Like, how did this all start?
Yeah, you know, I'll try to keep the answer contained because I feel like it's my whole life. You know, as a small child, I realized that there was something more. And, you know, I did my first yoga practice when I was in second grade, did meditation practices that I carried through my life, but that was kind of like the seed that was planted back then. And I think in high school, I was studying the great wisdom keepers and different religions of the world. And when I got to college, I had believed in environmentalism, in connection, community, energy. And I had designed a wellness retreat center as my thesis project. So I was already thinking about, you know, how do we connect to the land? I was, you know, learning about the Indigenous American culture and how, and because the location of the project. And then I went into my like professional world and I kind of lost it a little bit. I lost that understanding, or maybe it wasn't a loss of understanding, but intention of staying close to spirit. I kind of, you know, worked for some amazing boutique firms in New York City. And I started thinking like, oh my God, you know, what am I actually doing? What is my purpose? Where is my purpose? At the same time, I started diving more deeply into or back into my spiritual world, whether it be, again, studying, you know, ancient religions or my yoga practice, studying the sutras, studying Feng Shui and Batsu and Taoism. And, you know, and I came to this moment of realizing that, you know, the experiences we have, especially when we're young, land in our body. There's a knowingness that we have about what is right, what feels right, what helps us connect. And those were things that I integrated, again, going back to that thesis project, integrated intuitively into that design. So design elements, right? Here I am now, however many years later, and I started realizing like, oh, everything I've been learning and remembering about the spiritual world is already in the design that I'm doing. And it was like a unification. I kept trying to figure out where do these things come together. And then I realized, like, actually, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And I've been doing it all along. Right. And so, you know, a couple of days ago I was saying, because I think of very much my practice as like the yoga of life and the yoga of architecture. But yoga means union. Right. Yeah. Like, so here it is. It's
together.
The union.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love this. So at just a certain moment in time, it became more conscious for you. That's what I'm hearing. And that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It became more conscious, and I began to feel then instantly confident in telling the story of what I've actually been doing, and sharing that with clients, and sharing that,
right,
you know, as a message, and sharing it with other architects and designers, because, you know, I think this is how we actually can help heal. And right now, more than anything, that's what we need.
Wow, I just got shivers. Yeah, right now, more than ever, that is what we need, and that it helps, that can help people heal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love how you talk about architecture as being a yoga practice for you. Is that what were the exact words you used there?
So I often, just for my language, I say it's the yoga of design. So yoga, I'm living the yoga. So for me, you know, you create a philosophy. Some people follow a philosophy, or they take different bits of different philosophies and create kind of their own value systems, maybe another way to think about it. For me, I think about it as living the yoga. And if I'm going to live the yoga, that means I have to practice yoga in design, in architecture. And that's about, you know, presence. That's about truth. That's about non-harm. You know, it's all of the sutras. It's all of the belief system that ultimately, you know, you think about as your daily life and the way you show up and how you have relationship with people, but it's also how you have relationship with space, nature, each other, and what you're creating.
Mm. And you know what's so important? When, as you were speaking, I was just, I could feel like that there's this integration process, this full kind of like seeping in of, like this way of walking, a way of walking the land, a way of walking in the way you run your practice, your business, a way of walking when it comes to your leadership, a way of walking when you select materials, right? This sacred walk. And, you know, it's not just about, okay, well, how often do you meditate? And are you going to the yoga class after work, which is very important and, you know, absolutely is essential. You know, I'm thinking about the days when yoga wasn't even that in, and, you know, the amount of stress that people were going through, you know, in the architecture world, and still do, mm-hmm. Maybe open that as another topic. But what I'm hearing is that for you, it's about this wholeness, this oneness, and that, okay, if I'm doing the meditation work, you know, committed to doing my yoga practice. By the way, Rachel, for the listeners, is a yoga teacher and she calls herself a student as well, but you are also, you're really coming from that background, that foundation, but bringing that in to your projects, bringing that philosophy is not that truth, that way of being, that consciousness, that heart, that breath. Keep on getting the in-breath and the out-breath with the way that you, your presence just emanates with that. And also your work too. I've seen the work that you do, and there is this beauty. You can really feel the that intention, that yoga behind it. Yeah, can you share a bit more about and continue please with what you wanted to say?
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say I think the work, that's where I started to understand that I was already practicing and living through the practice, what we've been talking about, because, you know, not all clients can understand energy or, you know, I might want to talk about truth and materials or the energy of the land. It's either the energy of the space or the energy of the land, or the rise of the sun and what that does for you. But you can choose words that most will land in most people, and you have to read who your client is and decide how much you can share. But you should be in my opinion, you do the work, or you present the practice either way. It's just sometimes you share more about it than others. But ultimately, what was happening is I would go into the projects when they were complete, and I was seeing how it was changing people's lives.
Oh my God.
and I could see, like, I would walk in and I'd be like, they would say, you know, my house makes me feel so calm.
Yeah.
I always feel so good when I'm here. And I mean, I'm sure lots of people's work ends up with, you know, it feels fresh, sure, it's new, it's renovated, but there's literally like, it feels like the exhale. Oh, right. Wow. And what you said before about the inhale, exhale, like, again, and the exhale, by the way, is what actually calms the nervous system, right? Like, in our bodies, that is scientifically accurate, right? So if a space feels like the exhale, like, that explains like why it's calm. And so I was seeing the results of that in projects without even like realizing what I was really doing or how, you know, there was intention behind it, but it wasn't like, oh, this person came to me and said, I want a calm space.
Right.
And then I would talk about philosophically or things like truth. That might be the truth. This is just for me, a little example. Like, sometimes people will come to me and say, oh, in my kitchen, you know, I really want a resilient countertop material, but I really love the look of marble. Let's just use this like man-made material, right? You know, and I will say, I think that's an option.
Yeah.
And let's just think about this a little bit. Like, how does that feel? How does that feel to have something that looks like something it's not? Right? Like, is that true? And what happens when a little lie like resides in your body? Like, how does that start to sit and grow? You know, and again, I can talk about that with some clients and not others. So, you know, on the residential side, that's how this all, that kind of helped me come to realizing that I was already doing the work. But now what is happening is, because of these conversations, our work is changing and growing into affecting not just families, but larger groups of people. So whether, you know, we're doing a community space that the objective is to really, you know, encourage people to connect. Again, one of the things that we most need right now. Right? Like that's what we're all talking about, right? The lack of connection.
Yeah.
So we're doing lots of projects like, you know, community projects. So supporting organizations that are either arts focused or we've started working on a Ayurvedic farm.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, which is, you know, infused with ritual. And then obviously, so again, it's this, obviously Ayurveda is the true integration of the truth, right? From the earth to the practice to each individual design, all of it. And so to be working on a project like this is an honor and a learning, you know? I mean, I don't ever want to pretend that you said that I also see myself as a student. I am first a student.
Yeah, I am first a student.
There's so much to learn because we're all returning home, right? Like, isn't that what we're doing? We're returning home.
Whenever you say that, I get shivers, Rachel. I mean, it is. It's like we're. It's this treasure hunt, in our into the depths of our being, and that wisdom that we all have carried, but somewhere along the way, it's been severed. That tie, that connection. And, you know, I was in Ephesus just last week getting ready for my VIP retreat, the 2-day VIP retreat for women architects and designers who are eager to bridge spiritual wisdom with design, but they don't know how they're going to do it, like business-wise. Mm-hmm. This is a big power place. But, you know, when you are sharing that, you know, it's about remembering, it's about coming home. What's interesting about the temple map, like the ancient city map, is that the temple of Artemis, which was the essence temple where the mysteries were taught. This temple is far off the main Ephesus ancient city. People had to go walk on a road. You know, it would have probably taken them, you know, a half hour to walk over to that side, to the temple, to where these mysteries were taught. It's one of the seven wonders of the world, by the way. What I wanted to say is not much is standing there anymore, except for a very tall column. There's foundations there. You see how the temple expanded over time, but there is now a main highway that has severed the connection between the ancient city and that temple. And that map just came up for me as you were speaking, that it's about this remembering. And it's like, we need to piece that road back together again to the goddess, to the wisdom of the land, to the spirit mm-hmm. that was, that we were cut off from for so many, you know, hundreds of years. And now it's time to bring it back. It's time to bring it back. It's time to connect with this ancient wisdom. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is what you're doing, Rachel. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Yeah.
It just makes me think of, you know, my yoga teacher, Sean Cornoy, says, if not now, when? Right. Wow. Like, Now is the time.
Now
I agree.
Is the time. Yeah. Now is the time. And Rachel, I'm seeing you, like, your business is flourishing. Again, you're sharing that you're attracting new projects that probably you didn't attract. I'm assuming from what you're sharing is that, you know, when you first started out, I mean, did you know that you were going to be designing this like Ayurvedic farm and right? Like, maybe you always knew, maybe there was a part of you that always knew, but that what I'm seeing is that as you are having this conversation, as you say, about the spiritual world, whether it is through asking these very deep, these questions to your clients and asking them to tune into how they feel about their space, to actually talking about the yoga, to actually talking about the world of energy and the spirit of the land. But this is attracting more clients for you. This is attracting the right kinds of projects. Is this feeling true and aligned for what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like a tipping point, because I think in many ways, you know, as I've been saying, like I've been doing this for a long time, but in ways that were changing families' lives and changing smaller groups of people's lives. And now there's the possibility of it just like keeps growing larger, larger and larger. And it has been something, I mean, quite frankly, I have always known. And I don't know how many years ago, maybe it was like 5 years ago now. I remember when I was in this struggle, it was this struggle of, you know, the two worlds growing and how do they come together? And my daughter wanted to go to Omega, which is like a retreat center in New York State. She wanted to attend some session there. And I was like, okay, great. Like, I'm never going to say no to going to Omega.
Right.
And so I decided to go and meet with, to do a class that was an intuitive, and it was to teach you, you know, it was to sort of help you strengthen your intuitive powers, in particular in reading, either channeling in others who had passed or reading each other. And anyway, at the end of the weekend, he's like, well, I'm going to just choose some people randomly and I'm going to either channel somebody or anyway, give you a reading. And I said, you know, how do these two worlds come together? And he said, well, you're going to create something like Omega. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I know that, you know, yeah. I just knew that. And I mean, yeah. Omega, you know, for anyone who doesn't know about it, it is a retreat center that has, it's regenerative farming on it. It has, its own water treatment, it's yoga, it's its own, you know, they have communal living. You can go there and work there for the summer as a trade for the classes. I'm trying to think what else they do there, but it's environmental, regenerative and community, of course. So it really is this. And then they also have a place in Costa Rica, Blue Spirit. So it's all very similar and all related. And they're all very much what I've always known I was going to be creating. And so now we are in the situation that we're working on creating these spaces. And so, you know, we're also having conversations about wellness, real estate from a like a multifamily perspective. So one of my other personal objectives is that like this should be for everybody. Yes. Right? Like it's, you know, right now in the United States in particular, quite frankly, like you can't find this stuff. Very few people are designing and building wellness spaces that are accessible to everyone.
Yeah.
However, we're in the process of talking about a multifamily, what's called workforce housing. So it's not low income and it's not high income. It's like, you know, school teachers.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to me, this is like how we deepen the healing, access to healing to more people. Right. Because if it's always only accessible for a high dollar, then not everyone's going to have access to this. So that's really exciting too. We are, you know, and there's a handful of other projects too that I can't actually talk about right now, but they're spas and other retreat centers that are very exciting. And so, yeah, we really are.
It
is the conversation that's building the energy. And I think ultimately part of it is because this has been my life and it's not, you know, like everything else, you always have to be pushing the envelope, because as soon as everybody's coming along, that means it's going to start to get watered down. Mm. Right. So if I say wellness, like, I don't even like to use that word anymore.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, what does that even mean? Right.
Yeah. It starts now to get really about gimmicky. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can get gimmicky. I mean, the word green is overused now, mm-hmm. right? You know, let's put mm-hmm. the green sticker on. But it's like, for me, I've always challenged the sustainability and green. I don't even know if I want to call it a movement, because it's gone out of the movement into more of a commercial thing. I don't think that, you know, having LEED certification or any of that stuff is a bad thing, but what the missing piece is our connection with our mother, with the land, mm-hmm. with the nature spirits, right? And this approach that you're bringing, which is about, you know, what I'm seeing is this process that you guide your clients through to really help them to tune into, not only the space, but their own inner world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. And then once we start doing that, once we start connecting with nature, I mean, we are nature on that deep level, and we acknowledge, like our Indigenous brothers and sisters would and still do, then we're really birthing a living architecture. And there's so much power there. Yeah.
Yeah. It's holding the reverence.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's the reverence for, I mean, the gift. And that's part of the work too, is like sharing this perspective with clients. The reverence for Mother Nature, who has given us literally her life to build our structures that allows us to have our lives, right? Like, you know, how much energy went into growing the tree that gets turned into the lumber to build the structure?
Yeah.
You know, or the stone that becomes the countertop. You know, I mean, that's why it's such an interdependent relationship, not just with each other, but with Mother Nature. And I think, you know, I really try to lean into, I can't tell the whole story to every client, but if I can talk about one material that I can spend 5 minutes even explaining, remember, somebody conceived of this, you know, somebody conceived of, you know, this, a chair, you know, somewhere back in time, people didn't want to squat anymore, and somebody conceived of something to sit on. And then every decision and every thought, bringing every bit of energy that's gone through it. Yeah. Right. Like, it, without the first one, we wouldn't, you know, the path wouldn't have been started. And then even to the point of the person who delivers the piece that you've had, you know, that's been made and is going to reside in your home.
Yeah. Their story.
It's a long line, right?
It's a long line. And it all carries energy. It all carries an energy with a certain frequency too, a story, right? Mm-hmm. The spirit of the land is full of stories, right? Some that are traumatic, some that are, you know, of joy, of happiness, right? And all of these are ingrained within the land, just like you're talking about with pieces, furniture pieces, millwork, I mean, material, the material itself, mm-hmm. herself, mm-hmm. where she comes from, right? And this just imbuing architecture with this consciousness. I mean, it's transformational. It's transformational. Mm-hmm. And I'm so excited about the projects that you're working on. Rachel, you are building the thesis project again.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Like the project in university, mm-hmm. that You know, at first, I think you mentioned, you shared with me before that, you know, the professors are like, what is this healing center project, right? Like,
Yeah, they were like, this is like, I mean, I think if I would have, if I could go back and think about what they really meant is, you know, again, there are a lot more female architects now than there were then.
Right.
So they were mostly men. And I think it was soft to them. It was okay. Like, why, it's not that, like, is that, that's not meaningful enough. And also working with materials that were, you know, green, what we called green then, I mean.
Right, now, like natural you materials. Already mentioned this. Yeah.
Yeah, using that, yeah. And working with sunlight and working with, you know, natural airflow. And, you know, that was to them just kind of woo-woo and soft. And like, for me, I was like, this is everything. And it is, I'm now recreating that. And I've set that intention for a long time. And for to some extent, I thought it was going to be me building it for myself. And it's even more exciting for it not to be for myself.
Mm.
Right. You know, because other people are more skilled at running these types of places than I am.
Right, so exactly. Like running a retreat center is a whole other, or a farm, right? Is a whole other.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And just, yeah. And then the impact that you can make, how rewarding that must be too, Rachel.
It is because, you know, when I talk about this college project a lot because it's very, you know, I've thought about it for many years. And so I can very succinctly describe how I integrated what was important to me into that project. And so for me, I'm trying to extract from the clients what's important from to them and put them into the projects. But for example, you know, I had been in elementary school, I went to this like progressive public school where we had this sunken pit that was where we would have conversations that were, you know, for the whole grade, and they somehow were very important or had required a level of intimacy or truth to be told. And somehow by like stepping down into that pit, there was a comfort, right? A protection that existed. Now, that concept, you could go back to ancient, you know, landforms and find, right? So, but I somehow understood that I needed to integrate that into my project. And it was, I did create this pit that was engaged around a fire pit that was where the community would come together and tell stories and truths. Wow. As part of the program. And there were many things throughout the project like that. And now that's what I'm doing is I'm asking people those questions. So what are some memories that you know, of your childhood or your life that hold real consciousness or awareness, either in your body or in your mind, or that you can share, that we can now start to sort of dive into? There's a real psychology behind it in the end, I guess, which I didn't realize as I went into the industry, but it's important.
That story, I mean, it was so vivid in a way for me, just seeing these children go into this pit and then that the structure, the form, how that provides this safety for a whole other form of gathering and exchange, a different kind of conversation, and allowing those children to feel safe when they're speaking and sharing, and that influenced your healing center project is incredible. It's incredible. And you know, that's really the power of architecture, you know, that it can provide that grounding, that anchoring, that calmness, that peace, that, you know, and different forms and different shapes, right? Different movements create a different kind of vibration, a different kind of quality, and that for each function, a different form is actually can be, you know, beneficial. Mm-hmm. So as we slowly wrap up today's talk, Rachel, I see you as a trailblazer in architecture. You are pioneering the future architecture through your heart-centered, conscious, and compassionate approach, an approach that involves listening and asking the right questions too, an approach that is weaving in your knowledge of spirit, and your, of course, your student as well, your constant learning about spirit as well. What do you, for women architects and designers who are now really feeling the nudges, they're on this threshold. There's a lot of them right now. They're fed up with the grind of conventional practice. They're fed up with their bodies being depleted. I mean, I certainly had chronic illnesses, and at a certain moment I had to just stop. I had to quit the conventional way and pave this new way with the sacred blueprint and the work that I'm doing with mentoring other women architects and designers. So, there's a lot of women right now who don't think that, they're scared. They don't know if they can make money by speaking their truth, weaving energy and spirit into the practice, into the way they design. I certainly was. They were in fear of being ostracized. They are, right? By the profession, by the association. Scared about talking about the world of spirit. What would you say in turn to these women? What would be your advice for them? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A couple of things. So number one, I would say, believe in yourself and believe in the intuition that you have, because I think, the fear and maybe to some extent there's truth. Like there certainly will be people who consider it to be continue to consider it to be woo-woo or outside of the box. But honestly, diving into this right now is absolutely being on the forefront of what's to come. I believe that we are entering into a revolution of value of the industry. I don't think that there's always going to be the architects who are back there just like doing drawings.
Yeah.
But businesses, families, organizations are all looking for the way back to connection and wellness. And by talking about spirit and energy, and by practicing it, it will without a doubt attract the right clients. It doesn't mean that you don't have other clients who you can't share this with, everybody's at a different place, but I think you got to believe in it. And you also have to do your own work. Like the reason, I think there's no shortcut. You really have to get to the moment like you have described for yourself of like, I don't want to do this anymore. But it wasn't just that, right? Like it was your knowingness behind it and then doing the work to understand that knowingness and then share it. And you don't have to wait until you don't have to wait because again, we're students our whole lives.
Yeah.
And so if we approach it that way and also collaborate with each other,
yeah,
so that we can learn from each other, then we continue to magnify the message. The bigger the message, the more people are going to hear it, the more people are going to want it.
Yeah, I'm just seeing, as you speak, I'm seeing this little pebble dropping on the surface of the water. You know, take that step, even if it's a baby step, and the ripples of that first step will go, you know, kilometers out.
Absolutely.
Radius. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, honestly, if you change one person's life, isn't that enough? Right. Like, and because you change that one person's life, then they change somebody else's life.
And then it might come back around again to you. And yeah, it's just, it's incredible. So Rachel, what's the new earth for you?
What's the new earth? I mean,
yeah,
the new earth is really connection. I mean, the new earth is spiritual. Mm. It's truth. What keeps coming to me is grounded. Mm. So, I mean, I know earth, it seems like earth and grounded are the same thing, but it's not. It's not. I mean, it's a feeling and it's a being. And to me, moving forward in the future is about staying connected to the center, authentically and completely.
Yeah.
So that's what it is. Yeah.
And imagine what kind of architecture then births out of something like that, right?
Mm. And there's a healing in that, right? So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So beautiful, Rachel. Well, thank you so much for being our first guest on the New Earth Architectress podcast. It's really an honor to have you. Before we close, I'd love for you to share what you're up to. You've been speaking a lot in conferences, I think, as well as, you know, I'd love to hear what other kinds of projects you're working on, and how can women find you to be inspired, connect with you, and for property owners, new earth visionaries, right? Leaders who are wanting to birth a design, a community or a new project. How can people get in touch with you?
Yeah. So we're on Instagram at RHG Design. Also our web is same thing, RHG Design. And yeah, as far as like what I've been doing, just this week, I was spoke at an event by Well Designed, and it's really a new organization, new-ish organization that is about the wellness of designers and architects. And that was really exciting to share my story as well. But the message is that, you know, fill your own cup first. I was also recently part of the global wellness real estate event that happened in New York City. And, you know, I hosted a table where we talked about spirituality in design. So similar things that we're talking about right now. And it was really exciting to see, again, even within this wellness word, how people divide out between spirit, land, environment, and more scientific perspective, language. Yeah. So it was really interesting to see how people did this. And then this coming Monday, I have a conversation, Design is Spiritual, with Danny Seo of Danny Seo Magazine and Industry West. And it's for the New York City by Design Festival that is ongoing. It just started, I think, maybe like 2 days ago, and it's also part of the ICFF schedule.
Oh, mm-hmm. Nice.
So lots of speaking events happening right now. It's exciting. And because I want to share the message. I want to encourage other people as you are too, to come into this conversation. And, you know, as far as our projects, other projects we have going, we have a public market project, which is again about community and people coming together and sharing their artistry, their craft, mm-hmm. whether it's food or things that they're making, as well as we also do a lot of work in the cannabis space. So we're creating spaces that are for wellness. People are using obviously cannabis medicinally. And working on spaces that people can actually heal through the use of cannabis. And then I think I mentioned most of the other bigger projects that we're working
Ayurveda
on.
Yeah, Ayurveda farm.
Yeah, the Ayurvedic farm.
Amazing.
And the wellness spa also. Well, we have two wellness spas, so different types of wellness. But, you know, I think what's also important is that in our own healing, different modalities work for different people. Mm. And that's why it's important to have familiarity or offerings across the board.
Love it.
But thank you so much for having me on, by the way.
Oh, yeah, it's my pleasure. I always love having a conversation with you, Rachel. It's so inspiring. It's so expansive. It reminds me about what our, you know, the work is really about, the importance of this work, and that we're right now, we are the pioneers, and sometimes that path can be lonely. And so mm-hmm. it's really great to connect with other women architects and designers, especially ones like you who have a really, you know, long experience working with various scales of projects, commercial, residential, right? And, mm-hmm. It's inspiring and enriching, and mm-hmm. feel the connection, which is a word that you've used a lot this talk. So here's to the connection.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Absolutely. And I feel the same. You know, it is important for us to all kind of connect with each other and keep each other inspired, because it can get to be a lonely road. And I'm really glad that you're doing this for all the women architects out there.
Thank you, Rachel. It was a delight to have you on the show, and look forward to having you again soon.
Yeah, thank you. Be well.
Have a good rest of the day. Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning into the New Earth Architectress. It's my intention to inspire more women architects and designers to come out of hiding and unleash their intuitive powers to lead a prospering design practice aligned with spirit and their divine calling, while making a powerful impact on Earth. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review on iTunes, and share this episode with women who you know are feeling the nudges to take the big leap and bridge spirit with design. You can find out more about me and the New Earth Architectress movement by visiting aisharosemelodyhassan.com. Until next time, gule gule.